All right, what's up, everyone? It's your boy Opti. We are back for another interview. I got an exciting one for you guys. In my opinion, from what I hear, an absolute legend in the mining space. So I am super stoked to get this conversation going for you guys. Forgive me as YouTube is acting up, but I am 100% positive we are streaming right now. So shouts out to every single one of you guys hanging out with us. And without further ado, let's just get into this. What's up, JP? This is JP Barrick, absolute legend in the space from what I hear with Nico. And I'm super excited. So how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No worries, bro. So, without further ado, let's just get into it, bro. So Nico tells me that you were mining Bitcoin from a laptop. Tell the people how that was.
So I did download the tools to mine Bitcoin on my laptop, but I was already too late. Back then, it was GPU mining and FPGA mining were just becoming a thing. And I fell into the Butterfly Lab ASIC trap, which was this company in the United States that said they were going to make ASICs. And they said it was going to be 2 weeks, and 2 weeks turned into 2 years. And finally, they shipped my Bitcoin ASIC. But I was GPU mining back in 2014, 2013 timeframe, and then got into large-scale Ethereum mining in 2016.
Wow, Butterfly Labs OG, amazing. Well, way before my days, but I have heard the stories of the Butterfly Labs, and I think there'll be some parallels. I'll probably bring that in a little later for everyone. But since you've been around in the Bitcoin mining game for so long, what's your view on the current state of Bitcoin mining, and maybe even little tidbits of where you think it is going?
So I think right now, Bitcoin mining is in a unique opportunity to grow and succeed in the power industry and playing in the power markets more than it has in the past. You know, you have the Biden Infrastructure Act that was passed last year that's really pushing forward this development of green, clean, renewable energy that has no fuel. So that means they can sell energy into negative price points. Bitcoin miners across the Midwest are taking advantage of that, and they're able to then participate in demand response markets, which is when you turn off your Bitcoin mining rigs because you're not using energy, or they're able to take advantage of it because the prices of energy are negative and they're actually getting paid to use that energy along with mining Bitcoin. So this provides a great opportunity for large-scale miners to grow their operations in the Midwest, in Texas, because of all this cheap solar and wind that's being subsidized by the federal government will allow miners to have a lower cost of deployment or lower cost of operations when it comes to mining each Bitcoin. So I think it's a great time to get into the industry, and it is maturing. Utilities are more eager to talk to us as Bitcoin miners, and we're coming up with some collaborative relationships that are symbiotic for us in the electric grid.
Love it. If there is someone out there thinking about mining, would you recommend that they go all in right now or maybe wait a little bit during this the tail end of this bear market that we're seeing?
Yeah, so I think Bitcoin machines are priced based on the amount of Bitcoin that's going to derive over the course of the lifespan of the asset. So right now, with the price crashing down to $25,000, the machine prices could start, if it stays here for a little bit, could start to change and could start to go down farther than where they are today. That's really the key time to be buying machines, because Bitmain and MicroBT, they are taking in account the halving event when they are pricing these machines out, just like you should be as a miner. So either now or over the next month or two is a good time to get in, because if the price starts to run, these machine prices are going to increase, just how it always works. So you have to be buying when you think Bitcoin is underpriced, undervalued, and that's when you want to be allocating capital. Do you want to go all in now? It's a hard question to answer. I would say dollar cost averaging even into Bitcoin miners is a smart move. And then also deploying capital after the halving for the halving run up, where you can collect an extreme amount of profits, because two things occur. People can't get on infrastructure fast enough, and the Bitcoin price runs up faster than you can build new data centers, which allows the existing miners to make more money.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right. I want to circle back a little bit. You were touching on this bear market and Bitcoin mining and energy. And it really seems like this cycle, the last couple of years, has really ushered in the idea for energy producers that they need to get on Bitcoin mining if they want to continue to make profits moving forward. What's your thoughts on all this? And then I have one follow-up question to this that I really like to ask friends, but what's your thoughts on this bear market being kind of like the quintessential energy market right now. Like I feel like Bitcoin miners and the Bitcoin narrative in general is breaking into like the big name energy producers. And I think everyone is waking up to what we understand about Bitcoin mining and energy use in general.
Sure. So Bitcoin mining provides an alternative energy market or an alternative energy customer. And not necessarily Bitcoin mining itself, but Bitcoin itself. And extracting these new Bitcoins can be denominated in a cost per megawatt hour. So the electric industry, when we sell electricity, we price electricity, we're using a megawatt hour, which stands for million kilowatts of energy. So a ton of energy, it's just a unit. And what's happening is the market prices of non-fuel based sources of energy, which is wind, solar, are lowering the price of energy for the other people on the grid. Those are your private nat gas operators. Those are your coal plants. Those are your nuclear, your hydro. So they're getting less revenue on a per megawatt hour basis because of these subsidized energy sources, such as wind and solar, which are, like I said, selling into the market just to get a tax credit, not necessarily even to make money on the energy. While those other guys, they need to find a way to pay for that asset and to amortize that asset. So they can go from selling to the market to selling to Bitcoin by simply building a Bitcoin mine. And they can understand that the Bitcoin customer is never going to go away. And the price that Bitcoin is going to pay you in terms of dollars per megawatt hour, yes, that's going to change. And yes, it will always go down over time. But it allows the operator to have more flexibility, or instead of selling their load to the grid for, let's say, $25 a megawatt hour, they can sell it to the Bitcoin network for 60 or 70. And that's a massive increase in returns for an industry that's used to deploying hundreds of millions, billions of dollars of capital. So it only makes logical sense that the energy operators, the energy producers come into the Bitcoin mining space in order for them to amortize assets faster, in order for them to generate farther gross margin, in order for them to participate in the energy markets and the demand response markets, and in order to them to help all shareholders. So I think they should be, and they are, and it's only going to grow in as they move into this space and as Bitcoin becomes more accepted, that it's not going to go anywhere.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, one of my friends, Mike Hobart, he's very big on the idea of like, look, say what you want about Bitcoin, about what it does to the individual, but I think people are really sleeping on the idea of energy companies getting into Bitcoin and basically opening up a whole new market. And that's really going to be one of the biggest and most profound changes in not only the world, but in the Bitcoin mining space in general. And it's not really a trolley question, but it's more of a thought experiment. What's your thoughts on energy companies becoming Bitcoin miners, or rather Bitcoin mining companies becoming the new energy companies?
I think I would say most, people like to get excited and say, yeah, Bitcoin mining companies, we're going to be the next energy companies. The problem with that is that energy companies, they are rooted in our society, both on a contractual level, in a regulatory level, and their moats are huge. So for a Bitcoin mining company to go from someone who's operating data centers in that skill set to being a power producer, even a private power producer, let alone a utility, is a huge change in business. Now, is it impossible? No. Are we going to see it? Yes. Especially as Bitcoin and the economics behind Bitcoin mining become more apparent, as we see forward-looking and forward-thinking individuals in the energy industry, especially one that moves very relatively quickly compared to your large independent investor-owned utilities. So the electrical co-ops, anyone can come in. They could join the board. They could convince the board to invest in a substation for a low-interest loan from the government. The government, USDA, provides loans to these utilities that are community-owned and for about 2-3% interest, at least that's what it's been historically. And so that would allow them to build out massive infrastructure and attract some of the biggest Bitcoin mining players in the area to suck up cheap power. Because power is sold at the same price across all of these markets. So when we have an LMP settlement, which is when the energy prices settle across all of MISO, which is an energy market in the Midwest, the price is all going to be the same, and then it's going to be subtracted or add more dollars to the cost based on the congestion. So based on how many people are trying to sell energy into that one spot and how many people are trying to use energy. So I believe there are places on the grid where there's a ton of congestion, a ton of new demand or a ton of new load was added, but not enough demand, not enough electric demand there compared to what we need it to be. So there's a huge opportunity for a power producer to come in and play the Bitcoin mining game and do it well and do it at scale. And even if they don't take the risks of Bitcoin mining, they could still increase the amount of energy they're selling from, you know, let's say 1 million kilowatts or 10 million kilowatt hours a year to 100 million, 200 million very quickly with the addition of even just one large substation, let alone thinking about how do we make a gigawatt substation like the Rockdale facility with Riot. If you're having forward-thinking energy producers looking at that with, like I said, cheap government capital, cheap government debt, you can't compete as a Bitcoin miner with that. So it's open, but I don't know how many people are going to take it and take the risks per se and have the experience and the knowledge and the willingness to want to do that. It's easy. And a lot of these electric cooperatives, they're older folks who don't necessarily understand the value of Bitcoin, who might think it's a fad and they're going to miss out on the opportunity because it could be huge and they could bring a ton of jobs to their local community, but it's sad.
Yeah, 100%.
It's there. The playbook's there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, agreed. And all right, well, we kind of jump straight into the energy use, but for some reason, I'm hearing the anti-Bitcoin mining person in my head right now, and they're just asking the same question. How can you justify using so much energy to mine Bitcoin? What would be your response to this, considering we are seeing so many of the corporate press try to, you know, continue to smear Bitcoin mining? If there is someone out there that is thinking the same thing, maybe we need to go to proof of stake. Like, why justify the energy use of Bitcoin mining? What do you usually tell someone out there that is a Bitcoin mining skeptic?
So what I'll say is there's a great thought experiment about bricks and moving bricks from one location to another and then moving the bricks back to the same location. Now, if you look at the definition of work, you could say that there was no work that was actually done because the bricks didn't move. And that's really what we're trying to prove here with Bitcoin mining is what is work. We can sit on our laptops, we can write a paper, we can talk about how we're going to have the best marketing plan, we can discuss, you know, anything that comes to like intellectual work. But when it comes to work on the physical level, it's very, does this work or does it not? Was the bridge built and is the bridge safe? Does it do its job or was it not built and it doesn't work? And so that's kind of what we're doing here with Bitcoin mining. We're abstracting away this ambiguous definition of work and making it so that anyone in the world can prove that they are working by using electrons. And those electrons prove that this work, this computation, this mining process is being done. And that work has a real cost to it. And that's very important. If the work doesn't have a cost to it, then the underlying asset can lose its value and it doesn't have value to actually acquire it, which means that you're creating it for free and out of thin air. And nothing's created for free. So Bitcoin has this beautiful process which allows miners from all around the world to deploy these systems to use energy at resources that are stranded. And the reason why they're going after the stranded resources is because they have to compete with everyone else to pay for that same electron. So the ones that have the cheapest energy are the ones that are able to compete the longest. And so that provides a Bitcoin miners with the incentive to go after low-cost stranded energy that no one else wants that's already being wasted. A majority of energy is wasted on the electric wires. It's dissipated. We can't store energy like we can store oil or gold. So a lot of this energy is wasted, but we're already subsidizing it. So what I would say is that using energy provides the fundamental value of why Bitcoin has gone up every 4 years. It's fundamental to the halving cycle, and it's fundamental to the game theory of why Bitcoin is the best, most secure currency in the world.
Oof. Get them. Love it, JP. Love it. Very, very simple way to get the point across. And we can take this conversation in a lot of different ways right now. But, you're talking about the halving cycle, and I really want to pick your brain, considering you've been around for a few cycles. Where do you think we are right now in the current bear market cycle? Not to get into price speculation, but as a seasoned vet, what are you feeling right now? What are you thinking at, and what are you looking forward to?
I'm honestly feeling right now a flash crash. I think there could be a flash crash to, like, you know, 21, 22,000. We're at 25. It just dropped $1,000 today. So we've always seen this massive flash crash before the run up. Now, a lot of people, and including myself, thought that could have been FTX and 20K, and we could have been out of the woods. We're hitting this support right now at 25,000. And if we don't hold the support, you know, we could see definitely that flash crash come. And that's where I'll be, you know, buying even more coins and going long on the market, because then you're ready for the ride all the way up to, you know, 250, 300, wherever it stops. No one really knows, but you're up for the ride, you know, on the way up. Bitcoin, I think I read somewhere that, you know, out of a year, it has nine days that it moves up, you know, more than 10% or something crazy. Like, it has these massive days, and most days it just sits there. It just either sits there flat or goes down. So I think that we're still, you know, 2 years plus. Halving hasn't happened, so we're not going to hit an all-time high, I'll tell you that. But once that halving happens, you know, anything's game, because the economics of Bitcoin have changed at the miner level. The machines that are mining that are unprofitable are going to be turned off. Players are going to have to shut off equipment, and the game, you know, it keeps going. It keeps playing, but the network keeps tick-tocking away one block after the next. But that's my thoughts on the price right now. You know, don't over-leverage. Don't spend money you can't get, but keep stacking sats. I FOMO'd a little bit in personally here, you know, bought $2,000 worth of Bitcoin on Cash App right before this, because I was like, this price is a buy price. Even if I've been in since $70 a coin, you know, still get that paycheck and got to put it somewhere, because US dollars aren't holding value, as you know.
Absolute Chad Bitcoiner. But I think this is a point that it seems to be missed by a lot of newer Bitcoiners, and it is the idea that Bitcoin miners are the most bullish ones on Bitcoin, because you guys have to put so much capital behind your mining farms, your mining setups, and you guys are in it for the long term. Whereas if you're just buying Bitcoin, you know, you can very easily dump that Bitcoin for fiat gains. But as a Bitcoin miner, it's not that easy to just dump all your infrastructure and change on a whim on what you're going to do. And you can feel, it's palpable how bullish a Bitcoin miner is on Bitcoin, the asset and the network moving forward. And I think it's because you understand what this does for the energy sector, what this does for society, what it means to just hold on to an asset that cannot be debased. And you're like me, I've bet my life on Bitcoin. I'm sure you felt the same way. It's like, I put everything in on Bitcoin, and there's no turning back. And I think a lot of people miss that very simple idea.
There is no turning back. And we're deploying infrastructure for 5, 10 years. We're not deploying it for a week. We're not deploying it for 6 months. You know, that's our investment horizon. That's what we're looking for when it comes to these contracts and this land agreements we're signing, because we know that Bitcoin mining is not going to go away. It's not run by a CEO. It's not run by a board. The protocol is not going to change, even how, no matter what the media says. And even know if they're like, it's the worst thing in the world, the Bitcoin community and the code will not change. And that's why you're able to invest the capital you're able to invest, to know that this market and this opportunity is not going to go away, let alone the value of just building rack space to run the amount of computing power we're going to need for AI and for these other uses of compute. Where Bitcoin mines could easily be repurposed for that type of operation.
Absolutely love it. All right, I want to go to this pinned tweet that you have on your Twitter, because it is a few years old now, so I'm sure you're going to have to update it, but I'm going to connect this with the current hash rate. So you have this tweet here. It's pinned on your Twitter, at JP Barrick on Twitter, and you go, today, the Bitcoin computer is 100,000 times more powerful than the top 500 supercomputers in the world combined. And I really want to segue this into what we're seeing happen in the hash rate right now. It's seemingly continuously going to all-time high, and I'm just wondering, what are you thinking as a Bitcoin miner watching the hash rate just climb and climb and climb, even though the price is dropping? It's like, Bitcoin miners are crazy. We know why, but for the people that are uninitiated, what is going on here?
You know, it's go, baby, go. We're the chip factories in Taiwan. They continue to produce chips night in, night out. ASIC miners continue to get shipped across the world. Pricing of miners are going to continue to drop until we see that price turnaround and turn bull. So it's the name of the game. People are stacking sats. There's still a significant margins to be made if you're well-financed, if you have access to energy in the $40 per megawatt hour range. You can still provide a great return even with a flat Bitcoin price or 3 or 4% cut every month. So the operators who are here for the long haul, like I said, who aren't checking the difficulty every day or checking the price every day, they're deploying infrastructure for the future. They have a multi-year horizon and they're investing in exahashes today, especially the pubcos, especially large private operators, large family offices, the people who were, you know, not going to invest in the bull run are the people who are putting capital to work today. And it's sad because retail is usually left out because they're like, let me buy in at the top and not buy in at the bottom because it's an emotional decision. When the reality is that you should be buying today because the price is low versus when the price is high. And I think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing incremental value being deployed in the network, you know, every day of the year.
Yeah, human psychology is a very weird thing, you know. When it drops, I will wait for it to go lower. When it pumps, I'm like, okay, I need to buy some. But anyways, you mentioned retail and getting some exposure to Bitcoin. And in the past, at least from 2018, or I forget what it was, like around 2020, hosting, mining gets a real bad rap because of some real, you know, not up to par companies. We're not going to name names, but as someone that does host mining, what would you tell someone thinking about hosting mining? Like, what should they be looking out for? And what is the best way to go about this?
So when it comes to hosting mining, you want to look for an operator who has been in the field for multiple years. You want to look for an operator who has a contract, a hosting contract that's going to protect you during a downward market. You also want to ensure that you're not committing to a long term that you're not able to pay the power bills for. Let's say you're going to commit to a year. You're in those contracts, you're committing to paying that power bill every month of the year, even if the host isn't able to run all your machines and being up and running. So what I would say for most people in their hosting bills is you want to ensure that your hosting bill is based on the electricity consumed and not a flat monthly rate, because that's where you can get run into issues and where your profit and loss can be out of whack. Now, when it comes to running a consumer-facing hosting business, it's something that we decided not to do, and why we won't take 5 or 10 hosting machines is because the amount of work it takes to handle every customer or every client. So we focus on larger hosting transactions for that exact reason, or something called managed mining program, which is for the guys with 10 machines, with 15 machines, still making a significant investment of $100,000 and plus. But the difference there is that we are custodying the Bitcoin for you. And then at the end of every month, we say the price of Bitcoin is this. We're going to debit the power bill, debit our fees, and we're going to send you the Bitcoin, and then it's yours to hold. So there is no power bills. The customer support is a lot less. There's no, the contract is allows us to make sure that we can work with you throughout the relationship, and you're not going to default on your machines, because there is no way to default, because it's the top line revenue that's gets subtracted. So those are all things that we've focused on over the years to make the hosting experience a better experience for the little guy. And then recently, we've launched something called a Reg CF, which stands for Regulated Crowdfunding. And we worked with the first one with Josh Terry Bitvault. Josh Terry Bitvault raised over $600,000. Josh Terry is an influencer. And the idea of Bitvault is to allow anyone to invest at $100 into a Bitcoin mining company that's going to buy miners. It's going to have a flat management fee, and it's going to have an exit strategy already built into it, so you know how you're going to get your funds out. And it's funny, I don't know if you knew this, but Core Scientific last year had the most amount of money spent on private jets out of any public company. And so it's like you're investing in these pubcos if you're a pleb with $100, $200 trying to buy stock, and then their executives are just blowing money, you know, right and left, especially in a bull market, and you have no control as a shareholder over that. And so what we did with the Reg CF and the Bitvault was we wanted to give transparent pricing to the investors, to the Reg CF holders. And that allows for anyone to invest. It's $100. Even unaccredited investors can invest up to $2,000. And depending on your how much you're making, you can invest more. And that's going to be available on WeFunder. I'm going to be launching my own BitVault where I'll be managing it for up to 10 years. I can't talk about the offering off the platform, but I can mention that if you want to learn more about it, it'll be on WeFunder.com. JP Barrick BitVault or the People's Mining Company. And it should be live in about, I would say, at the end of the month of June. So definitely check it out if you want exposure and want to have me as your manager of the portfolio of Bitcoin miners, Bitcoin and cash. And we're going to be doing some really cool things with a dividend. So those are the three programs we have at the Mining Store and how we handle the hosting situation and customers. And the important things to look into a host are comes down to the contract, comes down to the experience, comes down to that power rate. And those are the three most important things.
Interesting. So just to be clear, this is not one of those early 2017 cloud mining things, is it?
Well, exactly. And that's what I love about it. It's not, because a cloud miner thing is you're owning the option to get terahashes delivered to you in Bitcoin. And that's a security. And that's why they got red-handed and got in trouble for it. So what we did is we said, okay, what is the existing security law in the United States that would allow us to solicit securities online? And that's called the Reg CF. And we built a company specifically for that operation. And then we work with influencers to have them bring on, help their fans out, and start to stack sats where they own a share. So they're owning equity in a Bitcoin mining company that buys Bitcoin miners, holds Bitcoin, and distributes dividends to investors. So they are still part of a common enterprise, and they're still a shareholder with a vote and with a voice. But the difference between a cloud hashing contract and this one is that as a shareholder, they own the underlying assets. They get the depreciation on the miners. They get the cash flow. They can sell their share after 1 year. So those are things that that the Reg CF process allows, versus if you own a cloud hashing contract, once the hot contract's done, you don't have anything else other than the Bitcoin that got mined. And sometimes, and I would say usually, that's actually less than the dollars that you put in. And the reason why you make money on cloud hashing was all because the price of Bitcoin went up and you would have been better off just buying Bitcoin with that money.
Interesting. Okay. I want to pivot a little bit here because you did bring up the whole political landscape in regards to Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining in general. You brought up the Biden administration. You brought up the securities laws. I do have over here on your Twitter right here about the right to mine law right here. This one is in Montana. What is your view on the political landscape right now in regards to Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining in the U.S.? As someone that's been around for a long time, like what are you thinking is going on, and maybe what do you think might happen in regards to Bitcoin mining?
So we are definitely getting more political pressure, more political eyes than we have ever before in the Bitcoin mining industry. And that's because we've grown. And the large industry players have definitely stepped up to the plate, allocating capital to the right parties in order to lobby the politicians into passing bills that we need to pass to protect Bitcoin miners. The right to mine bill that Dennis and Satoshi Action Fund are passing are amazing. I think what he's doing at a state-by-state level is really showing a lot of opportunities and showing the need for protection to have it clearly defined in the law. It's much easier to fight the battle when you have your foot in the door and have law drafted and legislation passed versus having to fight that without any legislation or with legislation that's negatively impacting your industry. So I really appreciate Dennis and Satoshi Action Fund. If you're not aware of what they're doing, definitely check them out. They're a great cause for the industry. Now, what I think Bitcoin mining and how it can be regulated, I believe that Bitcoin mining is an extension of speech. Code has been protected in the United States for many years, and code is what is running on these computers. And so I would argue that any entity or organization or governmental body that tries to define what you can and can't do with electricity, what code you can and can't run, is explicitly controlling your speech, which is protected by the Constitution. So I believe that that's an important aspect of Bitcoin mining. And I believe that it's going to be very hard to regulate it because of that kind of framework that we've built in the US here, protecting computer servers. Now, a utility they also have to they have non-discrimination clauses. They can't discriminate against a customer because they're using their energy for Bitcoin mining or they're using their energy to grow pot. They can obviously arrest the person growing pot if it's in a legal state, but they can't arrest the person for running computer software mining Bitcoin because the act of running that software is not illegal and there's no illegal, you know, things being produced effectively. So that's how I'm viewing the climate when it comes to the regulatory environment. And I believe that it's going to be wins. The more wins we can put on the board with the right to mine bills across all the states, running nodes, running miners, the better it is for the community and the energy industry as a whole.
Love it. Super bullish. I really like how you said it, because I agree 100%. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that they're picking winners and choosers and telling us how we can use our electricity or not when we bought it on the market for fair value. It's like, wait, what is going on here? It really seems like the powers that be are hell-bent on stopping Bitcoin mining, or rather Bitcoin adoption in general. And it's like, guys, we bought this energy. It shouldn't matter where this energy is going, but you're making a big stink about nothing.
You're subsidizing it, right? You're spending so much money to subsidize this energy. Taxpayers are subsidizing it. Why don't we use it? Oh, wait, we don't need you to use it. So it's crazy.
Absolute madness. Kind of on the same wave. I did see on your Twitter that you've had some thoughts about Gary Gensler, and what's your thoughts going on with GG over there?
My thoughts with Gary Gensler is, you know, provide regulatory clarity and certainty when it comes to what a security is, when it comes to offering a security. You know, that's why we had to go the route we went. I've always wanted to provide a mining contract let people own parts of a miner, or let people own an NFT that's going to represent a miner. But all of that becomes a security. And so that's why we went the route of the Reg CF, is because we said, hey, there's a compliant framework we can work in. And yes, it's slow. Yes, there's more fees, but we can successfully solicit securities, allow people to get mining exposure, and open the market up to everyone versus, you know, having to own a full machine, which is what a lot of these mining contracts are doing. Now, when it comes to the debate of is everything but Bitcoin a security, I think we're seeing how that debate's going. And I think that it's not helpful for the crypto community in the United States that we are regulating these exchanges, and we're really effectively paving the way for the big banks to come in custody the next generation or the next wave's version of crypto by stomping out Coinbase and some of these big guys. I mean, Coinbase was, I believe, the third or fourth largest bank by market cap in the US when their stock was growing. And it shows that the incumbents, they're scared. They are scared that these companies are going to eat their lunch, that people are going to hold their value and their money in crypto, that they're going to take it out of the bank, and that they're not interested in traditional assets. And when enough people say they want to opt out of the system, it causes systematic issues, which can cause massive runs on the banks or massive runs on, as we saw with long-dated treasuries and mismatch of liabilities and assets for these banks. And that's a scary thing, because if we lose faith as a country in the overall market, in the overall banking system, then there is a lot of things we take for granted could go to chaos and could blow up effectively. And so you don't like to go down that path, but the reality is I think that we're going to keep deflating the dollar. And the only way to protect yourself from that, which is what really matters, is to buy scarce digital assets. And in my opinion, Bitcoin is the one and only scarce digital asset because it requires the mining process. And yes, there are other coins like POW coins like Litecoin that are out there, but Bitcoin is the one that is not going to go away no matter what, because it is so large and has so much backing.
Love it. Okay. Again, I'm hearing the shitcoiner, the normie out there thinking, man, what about proof of stake? Is proof of stake better than proof of work? What would be your response to that?
If proof of stake better than proof of work, proof of stake puts the power of consensus in the hands of a few, in the sense where you have people coming together on a site and they're just like mining pools, right? But they stake their Ethereum and they're getting rewards and they're providing consensus to the network. And that's all run on the existing infrastructure. It's not like people are running their own servers and everyone's running their own computers to provide staking services. No, they're going to AWS, they're going to Microsoft, they're going to IBM. And so you're literally consolidating the processing power per se, or the server level, only in the hands of a few big players. And so that's where I push back on POS. And when it comes to proof of work, yes, there are mining pools. Yes, a few of them have a lot of hash rate, but it's much different because the infrastructure is what matters. A mining pool doesn't matter if it has no miners, and miners can always switch mining pools very quickly. You could move over, $100 million worth of miners invested, or 1% or 2% of the network, by just the click of a button. And so with that type of mobility, proof of work, I think, is superior, not only because it creates inherent value for communities, it creates jobs, physical jobs in the area, and it's making an impact on these rural areas that, the Rust Belt, that lost manufacturing jobs overseas, and that have the need for employment, especially for young men across the country.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, as someone that's been in Bitcoin, not as long as you, I've been around for 6 years, I think, is this year. We know the Bitcoin is incentivizing energy use, clean energy, whether that is wasted energy or like what we saw this year, even nuclear energy. So what's your thoughts on plugging in ASICs into nuclear power?
I love it. I mean, it's a very low cost generation source. I think that there's future in it, and it provides the ability for the nuclear plant to provide a consistent output of energy, and then mine Bitcoin on the side when the energy is not being used. But nuclear has a lot more granularity than something like natural gas or coal. So nat gas and coal, they, I would say, are more advantageous to the variability that they have when it comes to a generation source than nuclear. Nuclear, if you want 1,000 megawatts, you go right. If you want 900 megawatts, you go left on the dial. And that's just the beautiful nature of nuclear. One thing to add about nuclear energy that I think is very interesting and for people to look into more is the reason why nuclear energy is not more prevalent in the United States is because of one definition on how we regulate nuclear energy. So every governmental agency regulates nuclear energy by changing the definition of allowable. So when we build a nuclear power plant, we have to build to the minimum allowable amount of radiation. And what we can do, or what the regulators do, in my belief, is that we change the definition of allowable to be so hard and so hard to comply with during the production and building of these plants that it becomes almost impossible and for them to be built cost effectively. Versus someone like the Navy, who has a different definition of allowable, allows them to build very effective nuclear submarines, nuclear aircraft carriers, and allows them to deploy their fleet on this amazing energy source. So really looking at the definition of how are we defining what is allowable, and obviously we want to have safety procedures, but when you make the definition of allowable so much harder to comply with, it makes it unprofitable for us to build new nuclear, and sadly it just takes so much longer. So I'm hoping new tech comes out, and I'm hoping that we can get more clarity from the regulatory bodies and make a clear definition of the amount of allowable radiation in the future.
Absolutely love it. And you're kind of bringing up a narrative that I hear a lot coming out, not necessarily from Bitcoiners, but those that are anti-Bitcoin or anti-Bitcoin mining. And we talk about it all the time. It's the incredible hoops that Bitcoiners, Bitcoin companies, and Bitcoin miners have to jump through to basically justify what we do. So what's your thoughts on like the whole ESG green energy narrative that I think is going to come down very hard on Bitcoin miners? We're seeing like the initial grumblings of this, but I think that this is one of those narratives that is going to definitely be weaponized against Bitcoin miners. And there's going to have to be a huge PR move against it, like our boy Pierre Rochard and his trolling of the New York Times, absolute legend. But what's your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, so I think ESG is environmental, sustainable, and governance. So, when it comes to environmental, we are using stranded energy. Bitcoin mining can be used to capture methane gas. Bitcoin mining can be utilized to provide wind and solar, consumption on wind and solar. Yes, Bitcoin mining can also be used at a coal plant because every electron is created, every electron is equal. It doesn't matter what it was created from. When it comes to governance, I think Bitcoin is a significantly better way to govern the people, to govern the amount, the money the system at whole. It provides more protection there. And so I think that, yes, they're going to use the guise of ESG to push down the fact that using energy is bad. But that's the fundamental difference of understanding how economies function, how value is created, is it all comes from energy. Like, we are made up of energy. Everything around us was created with energy. That metal pen you use or that laptop you have was made from energy, from a furnace, from a coal plant, from a nuclear plant, whatever it was, and then it came into your physical existence. And so, yes, we're bringing more awareness to the energy usage of our planet, but it's not necessarily a bad thing to use energy when it's a productive use of energy. If anything, the worst type of energy is building energy in the middle of nowhere where no one needs, and it just goes to pay the larger, you know, companies. BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, and the large energy companies are the ones profiting and benefiting from it, which means that a select few people are effectively taxing, or not effectively taxing, but a select few people are benefiting from these tax incentives. And whenever we have these massive incentive packages, we know that causes inflation. And inflation is taxation without representation. And that's a serious problem, and it's going to become an even bigger problem for everyone as we move forward in the future, as inflation is not going away and cost of goods and services is only going to increase.
Yeah, I'm a little more left side of the bell curve. I'm just like, more energy good. They want you in the Stone Ages. We need energy to improve society and push society forward.
Anything.
Yes, it's incredible how that is missed upon like the average person. They're like, the ESG narrative is framed in the idea of do less, whereas anyone that wants to prosper is like, no, we should be doing more to improve our lot in life. Like, how are we the crazy ones?
I agree with you completely. I think that's with AI, it's going to explode, because AI allows everyone to have a personal assistant, to have a tutor, to be able to really enable technology to work for them. Now, there's a great book called The Sovereign Individual, and I'm listening to it right now for the first time. And they talk about the invention of the microprocessor, which took away the power from nation states and gave it to the people. AI is only going to accelerate that, you know, by 100-folds of what we've seen with the power of our phones and, you know, as microprocessors and being able to compute and communicate across the world. So this is only a trend that the nation states are losing more and more power, and individuals are going to have the ability to make a bigger impact in the world with both AI and, microprocessors, i.e. computers.
Love it. Super glad you brought up AI. But before I get into that, we absolutely love the sovereign individual. But I did find this tweet here on your Twitter. And it's very interesting that we're seeing a lot of crypto shitcoin influencers pivoting from their crypto to AI. And your tweet here is, if you are an AI, pivot to energy. And the tweet was deleted that you quote tweeted. So what is your thinking here? And what exactly is going on?
So someone else said, if you're in crypto, pivot to AI or something. And I was like, you know what? AI, pivot to energy. And that was really because of the amount of capital coming into the Biden, you know, with the Biden Infrastructure Act, and the amount of investment going into construction jobs, going into high tech, going into the solar panel manufacturing, wind power manufacturing. There is a significant amount of tax savings for deploying energy that, you know, could be, capital could be spent otherwise. And so the government's directing this capital in the energy markets. And so if you're an entrepreneur, whenever there's capital moving in one direction, there's value to be captured, there's systems to be built. And I believe that energy is a great opportunity for that. I think with AI, we're seeing that it's going to be hard to build a moat. The big companies are coming to Congress saying, we want to be regulated. And Congress is like, or the committees are like, we've never had an industry come and say we want to be regulated. This is weird. Why are you guys asking us? And the reality is they want to be the banks of AI. They want to make it so you have to go to OpenAI, Microsoft, you know, Google, one of those three, Facebook, to get your AI license, to run your AI. The reality is I don't see AI moving in that direction. I see the open source community accelerating the pace of development of these models dramatically, and they already are doing it. And I see open source owning AI and making it so that everyone can run this an AI system on their, you know, on their computer, which means that there are little moats that you can build. If you're working in AI, you have to be doing something traditional. If you're doing something very different than what everyone else is doing in order to build a moat, in order to build value, where in the energy spaces, you're looking for cash flow. There's real electrons moving. It's an investment into the infrastructure in the physical world, which has more defined returns and costs associated with it.
Wow. Well, I absolutely love it because I am also kind of in agreement. I think the narrative of like AI is going to steal our lunch and take all of our jobs, I think it's a little misguided and dystopian. I always look at it the same way. Like, technology is here to improve our lives. And I think AI will also inevitably improve our lives in a way we can't even imagine. Like, humans are very adaptable. And now we have this new technology that's going to make our lives even better. Like, I don't know if you use ChatGPT, guys, but like, it's pretty fucking awesome. It's pretty cool to do the things that you want to do very quickly. Anyways,
Mark Andreessen wrote a great article on it called Why AI Will Save the World. And he starts off with every student will have their own personal tutor that never gets tired, that is able to work on the child's pace and with the child through these different, you know, learning as they're learning these core skill sets. That is going to change everything we know. So AI has the potential to be all of our serve butlers and take all of this raw computational power, kind of like the ability to execute on an idea much faster than without AI before. So I'm a big proponent of it and of keeping it decentralized.
Absolutely love it. Okay. Pivoting a little bit right now. Again, we already got your price speculation, but what is your, I don't know, 2-year future crystal ball telling you about Bitcoin mining moving forward the next 2 years? Like, what are you looking for? What do you think is in the roadmap ahead? And then to tack on top of that, do you still believe the halving cycle is intact?
I do. I still believe that the halving cycle is intact, even though we didn't, you know, hit $100,000. I think that has more to do with the amount of fake Bitcoins that were being sold or paper Bitcoins by, you know, FTX and others. That's my thoughts on the halving and the 4-year cycle. I do think that it plays dramatically into the price of Bitcoin as we see the float. Bitcoin is the amount of Bitcoins that haven't been sold or moved for over a year is only increasing. And when that float's eliminated, when the price runs, as I mentioned, it runs on only a few days a year and it goes up dramatically, that order book is really, really thin. Long-term, next 2 years, I think Bitcoin development, I don't know where ordinals are going to go. I hope there's more clarity on the ability to provide cash flow from the SEC through these ordinals assets. I hope there's more technology built on Lightning. You know, I think social media was a great first step, but there's a lot of interesting opportunities out there. People are looking like, I think it's Synoda, Synota, at helping people settle energy payments using Lightning every day or every 15 minutes. So there's a huge amount of opportunities out there to build on the Bitcoin stack. And with ordinals, there was a lot more interest from developers in Bitcoin, which is this core kind of slow moving technology, which maybe be opening up to the wider public and the wider developers.
Love it. So again, we're picking your brain here as someone that's been in the space for a long, long time. But what are you most bullish on right now in general on Bitcoin? Like, what gets you the most excited, considering you've been doing this for almost a decade?
What gets me the most exciting is waking up every day and building new mines and working in local communities in the Midwest and in Iowa and bringing on young men and young women and allowing them to have the opportunity to service these facilities, have high paying jobs, work in an environment that is productive for their mental health and really leading a group. I've read something recently that there's really two ways you can grow as an individual. The first one is to have kids and be a parent, and I'm still too young for that. And in my opinion, and the second one is to run a company and be an entrepreneur. So I think, for me, I'm really focused on I'm just building a better processes, better team, and more accessibility. So if I had to go back to answer the question of what I'm most excited for, I have to toot my own horn a little bit. I think I'm really excited for the ability for people to get into these infrastructure streams, if it's Bitcoin mining, if it's energy, wherever there, you know, wherever there might be, but get into real cash flow that's going to pay a dividend and be able to do that through the Reg CF process. So always exploring what that looks like and exploring how to make that an easier solution, and maybe one day launching an app where it provides influencers the ability to work with their fans to provide them a clear investment in an infrastructure project that's going to pay dividends for them, you know, for the rest, for 10, 15, 5 years, depending on the investment. But the Bitcoin space, you know, it's not the same old, but it's meant to not really change too much.
Yeah, it's stable on purpose. This is a feature, not exactly. A bug.
Exactly. We don't need new flashy things.
Exactly. This is what people miss all the time. It's like, you don't need a new dopamine rush to understand why you love Bitcoin and why a stable monetary policy is so exciting and not only exciting, but so needed in the world right now. But I kind of want to go back to what you're talking about. Are you getting more interest recently from people looking into Bitcoin mining than in the past, or is it just like a slow grind up where people are waking up to the idea, oh wait, maybe I can, you know, make a career out of this Bitcoin mining thing?
I would say that the people who have seen the playbook before, the people who have done it before, they're definitely allocating capital. People who are, we're not seeing, you know, loads of new people come in the industry. We're seeing smarter investors re-up their positions, you know, dollar cost average into their machines, and invest capital in it. But, like I said, sadly, people want to allocate capital when it's exciting, when the price is going up versus when the price is down. And so that's kind of what we're seeing today.
Oh man, gotta love human psychology. It's that's my favorite aspect about all this stuff. But anyways, let's use the last couple of minutes, JP, and because I want to be mindful of your time, stick it around an hour. But what are you working on? What do you want the people to know? Where can they reach you and all this good stuff? And then I got one last question, because I saw you're also in the Bitcoin content game. But let's go with, what are you working on right now, and what do you want the people to know?
Sure. So what I want people to know is keep stacking sats every day and put some sats away and don't sell them no matter what. Like, wait 20 years. Make a promise to yourself that you're going to put in the safe and you're not going to look at that paper wallet. It's something that I regret doing. And back in 2013 is, you know, selling Bitcoin at $150 a coin or whatever and not holding on to it longer. So I recommend everyone doing that, because the prices we're talking about today, $26,000 a coin, 10 years from now, those numbers are going to look insanely small compared to what they will be. So that's my advice to everyone, is put away the Bitcoin so you can't actually sell it, you can't use it, and you can't touch it effectively. What I'm working on is the Reg CF, working on deploying new facilities, really hiring and training the right staff to run each facility, and building out a process or a guideline on how someone can come into our organization at the mining store as a technician level one with very little experience, how they can go from making $22 an hour all the way up to making $40, $50 an hour as a key employee in the business and as a operator and owner. And that's where my focus is. I want to make sure that my team has clear responsibilities and clear outcomes and outlines of how they can succeed and perform the best, and how we can succeed as an organization, and really, you know, one step in foot in front of the other, just deploying megawatts across the Midwest.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Okay. Well, you did talk about the mining store, so let's give it one last plug before we roll this out. What are you doing over there at the mining store, and what do you guys offer over there?
Yeah. So we got the managed mining service, as I mentioned, where you know, it's a profit sharing Bitcoin mining solution. We do offer normal hosting, and then we help large clients build out and operate their own sites and own them. This is the first facility there on the screen that we ever built in Iowa. And we've been, you know, doing projects all across the nation, and it's an exciting time. I'm also on TikTok as well and making content on Instagram. And if you haven't checked out those videos, they can be clickbaity. Definitely check them out. Some of them are trying to get more useful, but it's my intention to build like 1,000 fans and to really start sharing the information and knowledge that I have over the past 10 years and let the world know why it's important. So that's what I'm excited for.
Love it. I'm glad you touched on the Bitcoin content game, because I think this is a much needed area. It's like, hey, You know, I may not be a developer, I may not be a miner, but I am doing my best to try to spread that signal and wake up more people and have them hold Bitcoin. And kudos to you, bro, because I know that you know it is not as easy as it looks to make Bitcoin content or content in general. So what's your thoughts on Bitcoin content right now?
I mean, I love it. Keep making it. Like, we have a formula that works really well for viral videos for mining. People love to understand that computers can make the money. And those videos seem to do really well. So definitely check them out. I had a video get 37 million views on just my TikTok. And then from there, NBC reached out and was like last year, hey, come on Dr. Phil and explain Bitcoin mining and Bitcoin to Dr. Phil. And so I had an amazing experience last January and the ability to do that. And I'm hoping more opportunities like that can come up where I'm able to share the knowledge base that I've built and simplify Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining to the masses. And I'm excited to continue to do that.
Wow. Amazing. Talking to Dr. Phil about Bitcoin mining. How did I not know about this? This is incredible. Absolutely insane.
You pulled the videos?
I could at this point, but... Oh man. Well, before I go, how did he respond to it?
I mean, it's a similar, like, I can't touch it. I don't really know what this is, but he was very open. And Dr. Phil, I mean, he does 3 shows a day. So he is reading from the teleprompter, you know, question after question. His reaction is natural. But everything is built around him. And we had a show, it was an hour long, me and 4 other guests. And I was actually negotiating or kind of standing up for why Bitcoin was valuable. And then had someone on the other side say it was, you know, like dog shit and it was the worst. And I had to explain to him, you know, no, that's not the case. And like, this is why it's valuable. And so we're going back and forth. So they made it into a pretty good drama, you know, as Dr. Phil does.
Yeah, they got to expect it. Got to expect it with Dr. Phil. Anyways, all right, let's plug your Twitter. We'll plug Mining Store one more time and then we'll roll this out so we don't take up too much of your time because I'm sure you're a busy guy.
Nah, I appreciate it. Thanks again, guys.
Love it. All right, guys, go follow him on Twitter, JP Barrick, miningstore.com. You already know the deal. Get in touch with him. Are your DMs open? Can people get in touch with you? Are you a man of the people?
Yes. Send me DMs. They're open on every platform. Instagram and Twitter are the best.
Let's go. All right, guys. Well, hey, JP, really appreciate it. Hang out for a minute and I will roll this one out and then we'll let you get on your day. All right, guys. Really appreciate it. I hope you guys got something from this one. I absolutely blew my mind. Super bullish, not only on Bitcoin, but Bitcoin mining in general, obviously. But I really loved a lot of JP's take, especially at the end. Bitcoin content creation game is the next level. And he's on Dr. Phil. Amazing. All right, guys. Well, hey, we'll be back for our normal show tomorrow. Like, subscribe, share it. Make sure you get this one to your normie friend. Maybe your parents are against Bitcoin mining. Maybe your girlfriend is like, why are you spending all your money on ASICs? Well, I think we got a video for you guys. Anyways, appreciate all you guys. We'll be back tomorrow for the normal show. 12:15 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube. Peace out, guys.